Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is otherwise known as the Great Commission, the Great Commission to send us into the world. And we're going to talk about this a little bit today because I think, and again, I've been hard on North American Christianity, and I will continue to be hard on North American Christianity because North American Christianity stinks right now. It does. It's horrible. I don't like it. And I don't like to be associated with it. And you may think that I'm, when somebody says, oh, I don't like North American Christianity, you might be offended by that. Well, don't be, because you should be offended by North American Christianity, not by me saying that I don't like it. We're meant to work together. We're meant to make disciples of all nations, not just to convert people to believing in Jesus. And again, convert, I don't like that word either. It's true, but I don't want it to always sound like we have some kind of agenda, because there is no agenda other than to show people the love of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We do that by expressing love ourselves. Yes, it's difficult. People are difficult. How many have difficult people in your lives? Don't look at the person beside you right now. Don't do it. But we do. We have difficult people in our lives, and life is messy. Life is really messy. And some of the stuff that you have been through is messy. And some of it is beyond anything someone next to you has been through. And we're meant to come around each other and build each other up and help each other through that stuff. But today I want you to identify, or at least think about, how you're helping in your own discipleship to be better, but also how you're helping in making disciples in your local church and the people that you influence, your circle of influence, those people you come into contact with, those people you work with, recreation with, whatever you do, those people. We all have different spheres of influence. But I also want to challenge you to think about ways you can improve your discipleship in what you are doing, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But at the end of this book of Matthew, we see a statement from Jesus that shows us that the gospel is for everyone. It is for all nations. It is for anybody. In chapter 28, verse 19, that we read today, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this statement doesn't merely mean to go and to convert, right? All throughout my Christian life, I've been to events, and I've seen the movies, I've heard the speakers, I've seen the dramas where their job is to convert you. But I'd like it to be better. Our job is to get you to know who Jesus is, not to convert. My job isn't to convert. My job is to get you to know who Jesus is. And then once you know who he is, you then make the decision. But because of the Holy Spirit, we call the Holy Spirit in to help you, and you call the Holy Spirit to help you see things that you can't see when you're going through this journey. So I want you to know who Jesus is. I don't want you to just think I became a Christian. I mean, you can talk to multiple people across North America and say, are you Christian? And they will say, yes, I'm a Christian. Where in their lives does it show that they are? Where? And that's really the key we need to know. Yes, we can believe in him, but if I just got converted and then I didn't do anything about it, or if I just got to know who Jesus was and didn't do anything about it, that's where the problem comes. So, I like hockey. I believe it's probably the only sport that exists. Everything else doesn't matter. I believe in hockey. I love it. I like it. Whatever. If I don't watch it or play it or do anything about it, if I'm not engaged in it, then I don't really know much about it. I just like it. It's okay. Yeah, that's a sport. I believe in hockey's a sport. But if I don't actually commit to it, then I don't really love hockey. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't really love hockey. I like it, but I'm not married to it. I couldn't tell you who's on what team. I couldn't tell you who's going to win. This people are in fantasy whatever leagues and all these kinds of things. I wouldn't have the foggiest clue because I don't follow it and I'm not into it. And it's the same with our walk with God. We can know who Jesus is, but if we don't do anything about it, it doesn't matter. It's like, meh, yeah, I know. Yeah, hockey exists. Football exists. I played it. Whatever. I don't follow it. That doesn't mean you don't like it. I know it's there. I know it exists, but I don't follow it. And so the biggest thing we can do is make our actions fit our words and fit our values and our thoughts. And so when Jesus says this, we're to go, we're to become disciples, not just converts. Disciples are those who, once you are converted, once you believe, once you are introduced to Jesus, you commit yourselves to the full teachings of Jesus Christ, or of that faith, whatever it is that you are a disciple of. R.C. Sproul writes, he's a commentator, he says, "The Great Commission is the call of Christ for his disciples to extend his authority over the world, over the whole world. We are to share the gospel with everyone so that more and more people might call him master. This calling is not simply called to evangelize. Rather, Christ calls us to make disciples. Disciples are people who've committed in their hearts and minds to follow the thinking and conduct of the Master forever. Such discipleship is a lifelong experience." These people nowadays are looking for an experience. But what is missing is they want an experience now, right now. God, do something right now. How many in your walk with Jesus, just in your life in general, have said to God, "I need you to do something right now"? Did he listen? Not always. I would say 99% of the time, he goes, "My timing, not yours." We don't tell God what to do. He tells us. That's how it works. But our ego gets in the way. Our self gets in the way because we want to be on the throne. Remember last week we talked about that? We talked about how the old tracks from Bill Bright, he'd have them, and you'd be on the throne, and then Jesus would come on the throne when you accepted him, and you're off the throne now. You are not in control. Well, that is how it is. And now there's these, I don't know if you remember, maybe some of you don't remember this or know of this, but you've seen Jesus tracks, right? The little pamphlets? No? Okay. So I'm dating myself here. Thanks for making me feel old. But there's a publication that produces these things. And the whole point of these tracts is just to get you introduced to Jesus. That's it. Nowhere in their publications are they trying to make you a disciple. They're not. That's not their job. That's not these little tracks' jobs. Their job is to introduce you. Have you ever been to an evangelistic meeting? I don't know if they have these a lot anymore. But we used to, back in the old days, back before the wheel was invented, they'd have evangelistic meetings, and an evangelist would get up there, and he'd sweat, much like I am right now. And he'd run around, and he'd throw his arms, and his watch would go flying. He'd go get him, and he'd put it back on, and be like, "Jesus is here!" And he'd get crazy, right? And then he'd have people come up. It was wild. For a time. And they would get everybody excited. They'd introduce you to Jesus. But then after that, nothing. What they would say is, get plugged into a local church. A Bible-believing, God-fearing Bible church. That's what they would tell you. Because their job was not to disciple you. Their job was to introduce you to who Jesus was. And these publications, that wasn't their purpose, to do anything other than introduce you to him. And there are many street preachers. I don't know, have you ever seen a street preacher? I've done it back in the day where I would stand there and I would talk about Jesus, and we would do dramas and we would introduce people, and then, you know, some people would swear at us. It's a really good way to learn how to take a beating, really, is people just bombarding you and yelling at you. Now, some of them go too far. They're a little aggressive. They're yelling at people, telling them how they're horrible and they're brutal. That's not a that doesn't work now. Maybe for some it might, but in general, if statistically speaking, yelling at people, throwing Jesus in their face isn't necessarily going to work. But there's a group of them that do that, and they yell at everyone, and they believe that they're fulfilling the Great Commission, where they're, and I don't know if you've seen signs where it says repent or perish, or this person deserves hell, whatever they want to put in front of that. And the message is just, it's not a loving message. And we struggle with this. Now, of course, evangelism isn't a bad thing. Standing, talking about Jesus is not a bad thing. When I did it as a late teen and young adult, the reason why we did that was we would go on the street and we'd do a drama. And we would do some type of the drama, and then what would happen is people would come up and talk to you, and then you would introduce them to whatever stuff you had. You'd give them maybe a pamphlet, and then what you would do is you'd say, hey, there's a great local church, and here's the ones we think you should go to be discipled. The goal on the street corners was not to disciple. It was to introduce people to Jesus. But evangelism means nothing if a person isn't led to Christ and then begins to live a life. Just leave them hanging. You don't want to leave them hanging. You want to bring them into the... So we bring them into church where we come together and those seeking come together, and we walk on a journey to know more about who Jesus is. And how do we do that? We do that by going to a life group. We do that by serving in the church. We do that by lifting other people up when they're struggling. When you're struggling, they lift you up. We do it as a community, not an exclusive members-only community. We do it as an inclusive, bring everyone in. We don't get upset over petty little issues and make a big thing out of stuff that doesn't matter. What we do is we lift each other up in courage. And how can I serve? If you are in a ministry, it's not about what you want, it's about what the people need in order to serve the greater good. And I use music as an example. If all these band members serve in the music team, and then I come up here and start to play a song and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, bang, bang, bang. And then they all start playing whatever they want because they're such great musicians. They are, there's no doubt. But if their ego is in front and they decide, I'm going to play what I want, it would be a disastrous mess of nonsense. It'd be like somebody took a bunch of instruments and slammed them on the ground and threw them together. That's not serving. That's putting yourself first. And I use that, and now all of our musicians are fantastic. We work with ideas, and we try to make things happen and make it sound a certain way, and we just work together. But if there was an ego that was just too difficult to deal with on a regular basis, it wouldn't be worship then. It wouldn't. If the drummer, the guitar player, the keyboard player, the leader, if they just decide to do whatever they want because they're the bomb, we're going to have a problem, and ego is in the way. And that's not what we're to do. We're to serve each other. Being a Christian has responsibilities, such as worshiping God, being baptized, caring for others, and delving into His Word. But none of these things, nor all the other responsibilities of being a Christian, can take place unless people are discipling and being disciples. And that's why we have life group, we have youth group, we have all sorts of different life groups you can go to. We have opportunities to serve in ministries and help bring up the younger generations to know who Jesus Christ is at an early age, so they understand, so that when they get older, they will come back to the Lord when they decide to go their own way. Because we all kind of go our own way a little bit. I don't know about you, but we've all kind of gone our own way at points in life. Now, there's a quote by a commentator about the Great Commission. He says, it is much more than simply to proclaim. It does not mean to present or offer only a message, but rather to lead to a close personal relationship modeled on the relationship between the earthly Jesus and His own disciples. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone is meant, so when it says, go out to the world, make disciples of all nations, it doesn't mean that everyone is meant to be an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, or whatever. It doesn't mean you have to quit everything, sell everything, and run out there and serve. You're to serve where you are. If that's the case, if you were to go out and God is calling you to another type of ministry, a full-time missionary, pastor, whatever it is, that's cool and that's great and that's your calling, good on you. But if you are called to be a doctor, a janitor, a scientist, a race car driver, I mean, you just name it, it doesn't matter. If you're called to do that, if God wants to use you in that area, then He will use you because you're there. You're there to serve. You're there to be that example. It's really cool, and this is what I love about Scripture, because the Greek words just come to life in the New Testament when you really look into it. But it's the word, when it says go out into the world, it means as you go. So to me, and to a lot of commentators, that actually means as you live, as you do your life, as you walk your journey with Jesus, as you go out into the world at work, at school, at play, wherever you are, as you go, you are to be an example. You are to make disciples. You are to be a disciple as you go. Now, those are big words, as you go. Because there are a lot of times as I go, I ain't feeling all that evangelistic. Standing in a lineup at the grocery store, waiting for your Starbucks. Man, they take long. Michelle was telling me this morning, she was going through one of the drive-thrus and their computers were down, so she's like, well, I'll just go to the other one. She goes to the other one, and while she's in the lineup waiting at this other drive-thru, all these people are mad that that drive-thru is getting bigger, and then so they start driving to the other one that's broken down and no one can go in. So can you imagine the meltdowns that happened this morning at about 7:30 a.m.? People are freaking out because they can't get their coffee or their McMuffin or whatever they're doing. They're losing their mind. That's what happens in life. You just can't handle it anymore. It's messy. But as you go through the drive-through, as you go to the store, as you go to school, as you go to work, as you go, as you come to serve at West Winds, as you go, be a disciple, make a disciple, and be an example. Be an example. Because leave our egos at the door. Come in and serve and worship and lift each other up and come together. So as you go into the world in your circle of influence, in your spheres of influence, go and make disciples. Of course, the Great Commission is not meant to be taken on by one person and one person only. And it wasn't only for the disciples of Jesus' time, it's for us, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Not a North American Christian, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. That trumps everything. I'm not attached to a political party. I'm not just friends with those that are in my political thing, which you'll never know, because I won't tell you, because I'm in the middle. There you go. Right in the middle politically. In the States, we get attached to this Republicans are Christians and Democrats are Satan. It's not. It's like here, liberals and conservatives. Maybe you have disagreements with policies and you don't like those policies. That's fine. Don't like those policies. Stand up, do something about it. Go find out how you can fix that. Have some influence. Be a follower and disciple of Jesus in the political world and actually serve Jesus in the political world. Anyways, I digress. But if the Great Commission had only been for the remaining 11 disciples, it wouldn't have gone anywhere. But it's not just for them. It's not for Paul, just Paul. It's not for just Timothy. It's for all of us. It's for everyone. And the Great Commission is a call for all Christians to work together to preach, to teach the gospel, and walk alongside to a world that is in so desperate need of hope. What is the one thing during this time we've been going through over the past 18, 19, 20, I don't know, it could be another 40 months, whatever, but this time span, what is the biggest thing people have struggled with? Hope. There's disconnect everywhere. There's misinformation. Science is like, you don't even know what's right and what's wrong if you're reading all the nonsense online. It's very frustrating. But we are to be followers of Jesus first and foremost, and everything else will fall into line after that as important. And so when we stumble, when we fall, when we struggle, when we are discouraged, it is our duty as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to support our brothers and sisters in Christ who come around, and we're to lift them up, and they're to lift us up too. One writer says, in our season of doubt, which will come, there are seasons of doubt in your journey. A lot of times, I'll tell you why you doubt Jesus, I'll tell you why you doubt Christianity. It's because of Christians. That's going to be a lot of the reason why, because Christians hurt other Christians. Don't allow any other person, no matter who they are, impact your relationship with the Creator of the universe. Don't do it. Don't listen to other people who are against God, against Jesus Christ, who don't have nothing positive to say about Christianity or followers of Jesus. Don't let those people push you in a direction that takes you down a completely different path. For yourself, read His Word. This is where you're going to find it. And you know why we don't look in here enough? Because it's a thick book. It's really hard to read. Read it. Find one. I'll get you a version you can understand. Because there's lots of weird versions out there that don't make sense, and they're culturally just, you know, you've got to dig in deeper. But we can find you a Bible, a paraphrase, something that will help you walk through the Scriptures to get to know Jesus Christ. Don't allow other people to tell you what this says. Do it yourself. Find out yourself. Read it yourself. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you and make this come to life. If this is truly the Word of God, the Word of the Creator of the universe and the stars and you and me and everything around us, if these are His words, inspired, then this better work. This better do the job it says it does. And I believe it does. I believe that Jesus Christ has the power and the authority. But we have to get into it. We have to figure it out. Don't just wait for it. Look into the Word. Bring other people around to help with questions. Don't just take other Christians' answers as law. Take the Word of God as law. Read it, search it, look through it. That's what discipleship is. It's learning what Jesus has taught. It's flushing those truths out and then figuring out what it means today, what it means now. Don't just take my word for it. Go to Scripture. Read Scripture. Find good, God-fearing teachers that want you to learn and want you to know. Don't just have them tell you. I remember back in the days of Bible college, I would go to a class, I'd sit there, and they would just tell you. Not all of them, but some of them would just tell you what you needed to know to write the exam. Did you learn? Or did you just regurgitate what they were teaching? No, we need to look and delve in. My responsibility at the time was to dig into the Scripture, not just listen to what they said. That was part of it. But I have to delve in myself. I just can't take their word for it. Not that I don't trust them, but then it's not my faith. It's not my belief system. It's not your parents. It's not your teachers. It's not your Sunday school teachers. It's not your pastors. It's my faith. It's your faith, and you need to figure it out. So you need to figure that stuff out. And I really want to encourage you to delve into the Word, to find a devotional book. And again, we can help you. We can sort that out. There's lots out there. But let's figure this out. It's important that when we are struggling with our faith in our journey that we come together. So I have two questions for you as we conclude. Two questions, that's it. Very simple. Identify how you are helping the local church in making disciples in our local area, in our local church. So here at West Winds, that's That's a serving type thing. How are you making disciples? So are you serving? Are you teaching? Are you being taught? That kind of thing. And what ways can you improve your relationship with God in your discipleship journey? So, two things. What are you doing to help others be discipled? And what are you doing for yourself to be discipled? This week, think those things through. Walk through some scripture. If you need to be encouraged what to read, if you're like, I don't know really what to read, where to go, go to John and start with John chapter 1 and just walk your way through it. And as we get closer to Christmas, we'll head into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke, go through there. But start in John, walk your way through it, get a refresher. Sometimes we forget, right? Sometimes there are things we just, you know, oh yeah, I know that, but you know, whatever. No, get into it. So as we go forward, and then our life groups are starting, yes, the dates are coming out. So a lot of that's happened through videos, and that is going to happen. They'll be online, and there will be questions there for you to discuss with your group and to think about and to ponder on. But this week, how are you making disciples in the local church, and how are you being discipled yourself? That's the key. That's where we need to go. Disciples of Jesus on every area of our life, no matter where we are, as you go. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have your word, your inspired word. Help us, if we're struggling in areas, to learn from that word, to pull out the truths of what you're saying, to help us to be an example to others, but also to help us on our own journey, our own walk. Let us make disciples wherever we go. Let us help to be the believers in Jesus that you want us to be, that you meant us to be, that's in this book. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for what you are about to do. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. Next week, guess what? Monday's Thanksgiving, right? Come here. We've got a great message for you. Going to teach you how to pick fights with your relatives when they come over for dinner. Not true. I teach you how to not pick fights. God bless you. Have a great week.